This message, titled Gospel Ministry from Colossians 1 verse 24 through chapter 2 verse 5, was preached at Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church in Winchester, Kansas. For more information, visit us at winchesterrp.com.
Here in this latter part of chapter 1, Paul begins to explain his job as a minister of the gospel. He begins to describe this job very much in the same way that a doctor describes an operation to a patient. Now, I've had several surgeries, and before each one, the doctor sat me down and explained the meaning of the operation, what it was intended to do. And he sat me down and explained the hope of the operation, what the expected results were going to be. And he used simple terms to explain very complex procedures, all with the intent of guiding me through it and giving me an understanding of what was going to happen and to persuade me that these operations were needed. And this is very similar to how Paul describes his ministry to the Colossians here in this passage. He's explaining the meaning of his ministry and the hope of his ministry in order to persuade them to receive his ministry and persuade them of the importance of gospel ministry. And one thing I want us to leave here seeing is how similar Paul's ministry to the Colossians is to Kyle's ministry here in Winchester. As we look at our passage at the description of gospel ministry, we're going to see the meaning of gospel ministry and the hope of gospel ministry. And in doing this, I pray we see the hearts of our ministers, our elders here in this place, as they seek to live faithfully to the calling to gospel ministry that's been placed on their lives. So Paul begins this section in somewhat of a peculiar way. He says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church." We don't think of joy and sufferings together very often. But Paul rejoices in his sufferings. And no, that doesn't mean that he enjoys the pain that comes with it or anything like that. No, Paul's truly experienced sufferings in his ministry. He had enemies that were out against him. He was imprisoned for the gospel. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. And in so many different ways, he truly suffered for his ministry. But Paul rejoices in his sufferings because he sees their significance. He suffers for the sake of the body. He suffers for the covenant community, which is the church. And Paul uses this somewhat strange phrase in reference to his suffering. "I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction." Does Paul mean that somehow there's a deficiency in the sufferings of Christ, and so he has to fill in where Christ is missing pieces? Well, of course not. Christ's suffering death fully purchased all that it intended to. And because of his union with Christ, Paul recognizes that he has not yet been filled up in a fellowship and communion with the sufferings of Christ. It's not that Christ's sufferings were lacking. Paul recognizes he has yet to fully understand what it means to suffer with Christ. He knew that the sufferings would go on and on in this life and on in the church until finally at the end of the age, there will be no more suffering. And so Paul rejoices in the sufferings in his ministry because he knows that it will bear fruit in the advancement of the gospel and the proclamation of the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, your pastor and your elders here may never have people trying to kill them. They may never be imprisoned for the gospel. They may never be stoned. They may never be shipwrecked as they attempt to bring the gospel to people. But I can assure you, they suffer for the sake of this body. Every visitation that they go on takes them away from their own families. Every sermon that is written takes days of study, preparation, and writing. Every discipline issue comes about through tears and grief. Every funeral causes them to weep over the loss of a dear fellow saint. Days have to be taken off of work in order to go to presbytery and synod. Sleepless nights are had because of the stresses of ministry. Brothers and sisters, your elders may never suffer like Paul did, but I can assure you that they do suffer for the sake of this body. But they are like Paul in that they rejoice in their suffering, because they know it will bear fruit in the advancement of the gospel and the proclamation of the kingdom of God here in this little rural town. It's worth it. Gospel ministry makes the suffering worth it. And Paul doesn't suffer for suffering's sake. He suffers because the gospel will go forth. And that is the meaning of gospel ministry. So let's look at the meaning of gospel ministry and how it plays out in the ministry of Paul. We're going to read verses 24 to 29 again. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works in me. Now, very quickly, before we get to what the meaning of ministry is, I want us to see that this gospel ministry is a gift of God. Paul says, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you. A stewardship is when something is given to you and you're expected to take great care of it. This gospel ministry is a gift that has been given to you, pastors and elders. So you have to understand that your service in the church was not necessarily your idea, but it ultimately was God's. Your ministry is from God. And that ought to give you boldness and confidence and willingness in your service to Him. But the emphasis of that line isn't on the stewardship of the ministry, but on the receivers of that ministry. I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you. Paul is telling the Colossian believers that he has been given the gift of gospel ministry from God for them, to serve them, to minister to them. And this is the case with the elders here as well. You have been given the gift of gospel ministry to serve Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church. You're not elders in Denison. You're not elders in Orlando. No, God has given you the stewardship of ministering right here in Winchester. Now, yes, you do serve the larger body of Christ Church through Presbytery and Synod, but the emphasis of the ministry is right here in these pews. In congregation, these men have given their lives to this. These men have given their lives to serving you, to ministering to you. You receive the divine gospel ministry of the men over you. Do not take that for granted. Love the men who have dedicated their lives to loving you. So, what is the meaning of gospel ministry? To make the Word of God fully known. That is the meaning of ministry. Everyone who ever takes up the task of gospel ministry has this as the meaning for their ministry. This was Paul's meaning for his ministry. This is what he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Preach the word. The word of God has supremacy in ministry. In fact, we often refer to gospel ministry as the ministry of the Word. That's because making the Word of God fully known is the meaning of gospel ministry. This gospel ministry is a ministry of proclaiming the mystery of God, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to His saints. And what is the mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. The meaning of gospel ministry is the proclamation of Christ. It's the teaching of our union with Him, Christ in you. The meaning of gospel ministry is everything that Paul had already written thus far in this letter. But particularly what we looked at last week pertaining to the supremacy and glory of Christ. That is what is meant by making the Word of God fully known. And Paul goes on to explain why this is. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So here we see how the meaning of gospel ministry plays out. We've seen that the meaning is to make the Word of God fully known, and that is done by proclaiming Him, by proclaiming Christ. And this proclamation of Christ has a twofold function as well as a purpose. The first function of proclaiming Christ is to warn everyone. The Word of God does this over and over. It's a warning of the wrath to come. It's a warning of the destruction of God's enemies. It's a warning against falling away from the faith. It's a warning against vain worldly philosophies. It's a warning against false teachers who seek to draw you away. The proclamation of Christ warns everyone, but it also teaches everyone in all wisdom. The Word of God is the only infallible rule of faith and life. It teaches us everything that we need to know about salvation and how to live in light of it. And its teaching is all wisdom, because the Word of God is the very wisdom of God. No wiser words are there than Scripture itself. And this proclamation of Christ, this warning and teaching, it's for a purpose, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. This is what every pastor, what every elder longs for in gospel ministry. The meaning of gospel ministry is making the Word of God fully known in order that you may be presented mature in Christ. It's for your sanctification. It's for your growing in holiness. And that's why you must be dedicated to sitting under the proclamation of Christ. Because the Lord uses the Word of God as an ordinary way in which He makes you mature. This is what your elders here are working towards. This is what Paul was working towards in Colossae. For this I toil, struggling with all His energy that He powerfully works within me. It is work. It is toil. It is a struggle. But it is the Lord who strengthens you and empowers you to do the job that He has called you elders to do. So Paul goes on now to speak of the hope of gospel ministry. Look with me at chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul begins this section in a very similar way as the other, by stating his suffering, his struggle that he has for those in Colossae and in Laodicea, and in many other places. You can really hear the love of Paul that he has for the church in how he speaks about them. But he quickly leaves the talk of the struggle for the congregations and he shifts into the hope that he has for them. This is the hope of gospel ministry, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So briefly, let's look at three things that are Paul's hopes to be the result of his ministry. First, that their hearts may be encouraged. This book was written at a time when persecution was taking place, though not so much here in Colossae as in other places. But there was also the temptation to leave the Christian faith and to go back to Judaism or to paganism. But there's also just that general discouragement that we all face in life. Paul is saying that he hopes that his gospel ministry will be a source of encouragement to the people. Brothers and sisters, are you discouraged because of the circumstances of life? Hear the encouragement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Know that He is with you because of your union with Him. The Word of God is given to you as a comfort. Take hold of it. Hold fast to it. I pray that gospel ministry encourages your hearts. Now the second in this list is that they are being knitted together in love. We don't really talk like this anymore. What does it mean to be knit together in love? Well, being knit together means being made one. And this is the reality of what the gospel does. In Christ, we are all united to one another. We are being knit together. But Paul's hope is that in his ministry, people are being knit together in love. Those two words at the end are key to this. We're told in John 13:35, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The hope of gospel ministry is that we will be united with one another, showing love for one another. Now, I know not everyone here has the same views as everyone else on every single issue. Sometimes we have disagreements. But in those disagreements, we must have love for one another. And it's the gospel ministry, the Word of God made fully known, which shows us how we can do this. May we be a people who are knit together in love. And the final hope that Paul lists here is to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this is the big one. This is the one that, if fulfilled, will lead to the goal of gospel ministry in presenting you mature in Christ. The hope of gospel ministry is that you would plunge into the depths of the riches of God, that you would have full assurance of understanding, that you would have knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, and that you would lay claim to all the treasures and wisdom of wisdom and knowledge which are hid in Christ. There is a vast sea of wisdom and knowledge, richness and treasure, which can never be exhausted, that is found in the Word of God. So as you sit under the ministry of the Word, as you hear the Word of God preached to you, as you partake of the sacraments, as you're being shepherded by your elders, don't think that you know what's happening and can just go through the motions. No, plunge into the depths of the gospel given to you. Experience Christ in a whole new way each and every time. This is what I pray for constantly, and this is the hope of gospel ministry. Let it be true of you so that you may be presented mature in Christ. And Paul ends this section with a piece of assurance for the believers in Colossae. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order in the firmness of your faith in Christ. Paul isn't simply saying these things just to say them. He's saying them because he truly believes them. He understands the meaning of gospel ministry, and he understands the hope of gospel ministry, and he's telling the Colossians these things so that they can see it too and have confidence in the gospel ministry. And Paul closes by reminding them that even when he's not there physically, he is spiritually. And he rejoices in what the Lord is doing in them. His congregation brings him joy, even when he's not there with them. Brothers and sisters, your pastor, your elders, they love you. They give themselves to this gospel ministry because they love you. And they rejoice in what the Lord is doing in your midst. So I urge you, brothers and sisters, continue in receiving this gospel ministry. Let us pray.